I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. My food buddies are here. Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut. He's our senior contributor. Our producers, Lori Mack and Jonathan McNichol. And you can tell your friends, no matter where they live, they can listen to the Food Schmooze from anywhere in the world, as many people do, at WNPR.org. Okay, we have a letter. Actually, snail mail. It came in an envelope and everything. It's very exciting. And this is Helen, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Simcoe, who lives in Litchfield, Connecticut. And Chris, do you know her? You must know her, because she says, I am an acquaintance of Gertie Prosperi, Chris's mom.
Awesome.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
So she says, listen every day. I know that you all love bacon. She says, I was in Massachusetts visiting my son, went to the Stop and Shop in Bedford, and there is a publication devoted entirely to, and I am showing you now, the cover of Bacon Magazine.
That is
this
something.
This is a dream come true.
Four-hour thing. It is really unbelievable. And I have to say, Helen, first of all, thank you. That is so thoughtful of you. But the other thing is, listen to some of the things that are in here. I was pretty amazed. And then Helen said, you know, she read it cover to cover, too. She hopes I don't mind.
Is there a subscription thing you could rip out and hand over?
She said she was, you know, writing down recipes. And so it had the great fun last night of trying to figure out which recipes might have appealed to her.
Yep.
So we have a history of bacon in here, which is kind of fun. We have photographs of bacon covered in chocolate and caramel, as people do. Mm. What the cuts of bacon are all about, how to understand when you're talking about hogs, what each cut of meat is all about. And then, how much bacon does the average American eat per year?
Not enough.
No.
Wow.
Okay, this is a
that
quiz.
Was quick.
Yeah. 10 pounds, 18 pounds, 30 pounds, 5 pounds.
30 pounds.
18 pounds.
Wow.
We're working on 30 pounds.
Every year.
Well, we're maybe not average.
Oh, maybe.
Okay. They tell you in here how to cure your own bacon, which is,
awesome.
Well, you know, you have to be careful about what you're doing. Then there are these, and the recipes begin. And so here is a breakfast idea to do a bacon breakfast pizza, which is tomatoes, bacon, and scrambled eggs.
Yum.
Yeah, that are sitting on a little bit of pizza dough. There's a crumbled bacon, egg, and cheese casserole. But this one was interesting. Not exactly the season, but I want them. Apple, maple, bacon muffins.
Oh, my God.
That would be really
good.
One?
Oh, that would be good as a bread on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we're going to exactly. We're going to bring that back. There's a chive and bacon cornbread, bacon studded biscuit cinnamon rolls.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
More muffins of every kind. A bacon mac and cheese, which will surprise no one who loves bacon.
That's one of my favorite places to put crispy bacon.
Yes,
now,
I bet it is.
Here's a beef and bacon burger, except the bacon is inside the burger.
Heaven.
Now, that is nice. That is really good. And we have a BLT salad.
I
made
you've
up
done
one
that
on the
one.
Show.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
And they put it on crispy waffles.
Waffles,
and so that's
what a good idea.
Southern
bacon
thing
and waffles.
To do. How about cheddar bacon and apple panini?
That would
totally.
Be a nice thing.
Putting crispy bacon into your chicken salad. They do
there.
That.
No, that's a good idea.
A mini bacon, olive, and jalapeno cheese ball, which is, I don't know why
that's
that
different.
Makes me
more, please.
You know, we did those summer rolls and the rice wrappers on
right.
the show. That was so good. So with the peanut sauce, this is the same thing, but you put chopped bacon in there.
See, I was thinking those were good, but they could have used bacon to make them a little less healthy.
That's what you were thinking.
You did?
A little less healthy.
Yeah, if they were nice, but boy, would bacon make it.
How does this sound to everybody? A savory bread pudding with bacon and kale.
Bacon and kale, great
they did
combination.
A bolognese with a hint of bacon.
That's a good idea.
Isn't that interesting? Now, normally bolognese sauce has pork in it, ground pork.
Sure.
And so this was kind of switching it up and putting actually crispy bacon in
it. Yeah, it gives
it
a little smokiness
that's
too,
pretty,
right?
That's pretty interesting thing to do. They take salmon. Here's another thing with salmon and bacon. Garlic, olive oil, lemon zest, mayonnaise, bacon strips and salmon fillets that you cut. You cut the fillet into 1-inch pieces, and it goes into the processor, and then you wrap. You make kind of making a burger out of the ground salmon, and then you wrap the edge of the burger in the bacon, and then you bake it in the oven. And
see, that's like a bacon salmon cake.
There you go.
It's like a burger. It's like a salmon burger with bacon. So pretty nice. These folks at Thanksgiving time wrap their turkey, or whenever for a party, they wrap their turkey.
I've heard that
bacon.
Many times. That's a great idea.
We've got a cream of bacon soup. Now, here we go.
I want that recipe. A cream of bacon soup.
How about a bacon and tomato pasta? You know, kind of interesting. It's that BLT. Everybody's kind of taking the BLT ingredients
to another level.
Yeah. We've certainly talked about bacon and Brussels sprouts. And here comes one. This is for summertime. Spinach salad with bacon, strawberries, feta, and honeyed pecans.
Nice.
Wow. So that's interesting, too.
And this one, I'm not even going to tell you about. I'm gonna do this next week. So, but it involves grilling fruit and bacon.
We're gonna get
to that.
My mind is reeling.
It just goes on and on.
And are those bacon candles in the back that I see?
Yes, those are bacon candles.
You need accessories. That's what I was just thinking.
And that's
you
what
totally
you light
need
when your house is for sale.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, forget about baking bread. Yes.
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you, Helen Simcoe of Litchfield, Connecticut, for sending Bacon Magazine to us. It is the sweetest thing in the world that you did that. And thanks for the idea, because you gave me two ideas for the next food schmooze. I'm wondering. I would love to know. Chris, you have to find out, since your mother is
totally
her friend.
I'm going to call her right away.
What is the story on what recipe she wanted?
And I think we should be contributing editors.
Oh.
I'm going to contact them. Who's the managing editor of this magazine? I need to contact them because we are bacon.
I know. How dare they do this? Okay.
Consult us.
Yes.
We're going to get to grilled salmon with this amazing peach salsa. It has peach and jalapenos and onion, and it's not hot. It's not super hot. It's just got a little bit of heat to it, but not anything that anybody would object to. But it is fresh and beautiful. We're going to tell you how to do that and the cookbook that we found that in. Now, there are a lot of people who are doing two things with lemonade right now. They're making just traditional homemade lemonade, and they're doing a frozen lemonade. You can do this the fast way by getting a can of lemon concentrate and, you know, adding sparkling water and freezing it and doing all this stuff. We think it's much more fun if you use fresh lemon juice to do this. So whether you're making lemonade or a granita, you know, of your own quick kind of sorbet, lemonade sorbet, the question is how to get lemon juice, as much lemon juice as possible, because you need about a cup out of these lemons. And so I went on this great safari, lemon safari, online. And the three biggest recommendations from the food scientists are, there's, of course, the one where you roll the lemon
I've
on the counter.
About, break up the cells a little bit.
Yeah, break
to get
up
it
the cells. Yeah. Okay, another one is to take a bowl of warm water and stick the lemons in there for a couple of minutes.
Heat them up, get the juices flowing.
Same thing with the cells, apparently.
Yeah, heat,
it breaks the cells somehow.
Yeah.
Or you can just throw the lemons in the microwave for about 20 seconds, and it does the same thing with the cells.
Oh,
so this is all about breaking cells.
And if you did all three, it would be juice right away.
Right.
I tell you, though, because juicing lemons used to be this big production. Now they have this device, and the first time I saw it is in Mexico, and you see it everywhere now. And they even come in color-coded shades for lime, lemon, and orange. And then there are these little squeezers, right? They're hinged, and they have little cups.
Yeah, I have
and
one.
You put
fruit
the lemons.
Pliers.
Yeah, like fruit pliers, exactly.
And it has holes in the bottom of the cup so the seeds don't go in.
Yep, and that is by far, again, revolutionized juicing lemons. To me, because you never get the juice on you or sprayed in your eye.
It gives your fist extra strength.
Good workout, right? You know, you have those things they give you at the gym. So
Stress relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here is the way to make the frozen lemonade. This is completely simple, and it doesn't even need to be written down. So you have fresh lemon juice and then simple syrup. And people say, where do you get that? Well, you actually can buy simple syrup, but really you're just throwing
sugar
in a pan and with water, and you heat it up, and that makes the sugar melt. that you put in a container and you just stick it in your refrigerator. Yeah. And that's called simple syrup.
That's it, sugar
and when
water.
You make an iced tea or coffee or whatever you're making, your sugar water is all melted for you and you don't have grains in the bottom of everything.
And you can add a vanilla bean to that, which is delicious.
Yes, you can add a lot of things. You can put zest. You can put rosemary. You can do all kinds of things with your simple syrup. You can put strawberries in there. But anyway, basic simple syrup, you're good to go. So you just put simple syrup into your fresh lemon juice. That's it. Until you get it the desired sweetness. If you want to throw in some other things, you can. You can add strawberries. You could add blueberries. You could add some herbs. You can do whatever you want. And then you stick it in the freezer in a pan, and it freezes. And then you take a fork. And you scratch with the tines of the fork and then put it into a bowl or into a cup and you have essentially frozen lemonade. You can put some sparkling water in there. You could put, for people who drink alcohol, you put some vodka in there, whatever you want. There you go. Yeah. It's that simple.
It's a great idea. We just did one with watermelon, too.
I was so just going to say, I bet that would be good.
You can do it with any fruit. I want to know with that. Could you make popsicles out of that?
Why
with that
not?
Same recipe? And then
sure
have the kids
could.
Have little lemonade popsicles?
Go. Sure you could.
Very cool.
Well, I stopped by a sort of new winery on the North Fork of Long Island, Conta Costa Winery, K-O-N-T-O-K-O-S-T-A, Conta Costa Winery on the North Fork, where all the wineries are. It's a beautiful, beautiful space. Their logo is Sound Life, Sound Wine, because they're right next to the sound. And so they have a whole array of different wines for you to try, as all the vineyards do around Connecticut, around New York State, in Rhode Island, and of course on the North Fork, on the east end of Long Island. Coming up, we have for you grilled salmon, which becomes magic with this peach salsa. We also have olive oils from Ariston that come in a chocolate flavor and a pizza olive oil. So we're going to try and think up things to do. We have, thanks to our buddies at Fine Cooking Magazine, the No Cook Chocolate Mousse Pie. It has only 6 ingredients. It could not be easier. And farmers markets. I'm Faith Middleton. I hope you'll make a charitable contribution to feed the hungry. More mouthwatering conversation and fun here on the Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
Well, my soup is always hotter and my beer is always colder and my sandwiches are just right when you're here. Well, the grass is always greener and the kitchen's always cleaner and
beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread.
Beans and cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight.
Beans.
Cornbread said, now that's all right.
Beans.
Meet me on the corner tomorrow night.
I'm Faith Middleton. The Food Schmooze Party here on WNPR is heard Wednesdays at 3 and 9 p.m., Saturdays at noon. Join the conversation with us on Facebook. Simply search The Faith Middleton Show. Want to say thanks to our talented crew, senior contributor Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut. Alex Province, our contributor, is on vacation. Eugene Amatruda, Marion Roy, producers Lori Mack and Jonathan McNichol, and WNPR's content director is Jim Cutie. We thank you first and foremost for listening, of course, joining the party with us. We want to tell you that everything we talk about here on the Food Schmooze is online all the time, and including right now, the recipes for that peach salsa with the grilled salmon is up there. We have links to farmers markets. We're going to be talking about those next. So to find out where one is in your area, you can go to foodschmooze.org and find that out. And also, we decided we're going to start what we call, this is up there, ice cream sundaes. And what we're inviting you to do with friends and family is that every Sunday, just take off and visit a new ice cream stand and try some flavors. And we thought we should have an ice cream sundae club on the Food Schmooze. And if you want, you can let us know what your favorites are. You know, we like to go to the ones where they're making the ice cream from scratch, and maybe that's true for you too. We do love a lot of our commercially made ice creams in the markets, I have to say. There's some terrific ones. But really, it's fun to go to these stands where they're making some. I was just hearing about one where they do a strawberry rhubarb. My favorite is when they bring in the fresh peaches.
Yeah, that's
got some kind of peach
too.
Thing going on the show this time. But okay, anyway, it's all up there at foodschmooze.org. We're going to zero in on one farmer's market on the north end of Hartford in a couple of minutes. Farmers markets are big right now. They are rocking. They are packed with people.
And they are
everywhere.
In unison. They are everywhere. I don't think there's a town anymore in the state of Connecticut. You know how many towns we have in the state of Connecticut that doesn't have one in it or right next door to it.
This is so great for the farmers. It is so great for us because you're getting this stuff straight from the field. It is absolutely terrific.
And they've become the community centers of a lot of these towns, right? So you're not just going there to buy your food. Like, I go to these ones and you see kids with hula hoops playing in the field.
Magicians, dogs.
Music, dogs, sheep shearing.
Donkey rides, face painting.
Yeah. It seems like it's become like this community center for these towns that people get together and, oh, yeah, I haven't seen you since last week, right? And we don't have that anymore.
And not just vegetables. You know, there is. The seafood purveyors, the fishermen are coming. I remember I was on the Cape at one point, and a lobsterman decided to set up
a
booth.
Why not?
And these lobsters were crawling all over the place in his bucket, and they were, what a deal they were. And I mean, I grabbed a bunch of them, and suddenly for lunch we had lobster rolls going on. Yeah. So all over our area. In fact, do you know that in the city of Hartford alone, there are in our broadcast region, there are enough farmers markets going on that you can go to one somewhere in the city every
That's
single
so cool.
day in this season. You are never without a farmers market in the city of Hartford, and it goes on from there. So you will see dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of them, all sizes, all types. It really is so much fun. So here's what we decided to do. From time to time, we want to check in with our farmers markets. I have been, you know, part of this campaign to donate 10% to the organizations that keep all this going. And so you'll see cards announcing that on behalf of the Food Schmooze at a lot of these markets. But so we're going to go to one of our friends at the North End of Hartford Farmers Market. It's called the North End Farmers Market. That's on Coventry Street. It's outside of the senior center there. And we have Sarana Bake on the line with us, and she's the market manager there. What season is this, Sarana?
This is going to be our 8th year. At this location, the North End Farmers Market, which is run through Hartford Food Systems.
Yeah, that's right. And I know that working in cooperation with them, the whole idea is to increase access to fresh food, to nutritious foods, to various communities in Hartford, including the North End. You know, there are communities in major cities where it's hard to get to a supermarket. This happens in New York City, too. It is hard to get to a supermarket. And so when you bring in these farmers markets, it's fantastic, you know. And
yeah.
If in your population you have people on SNAP, you know, what we used to call food stamps. And
right.
Vegetables can be very expensive and use up a lot of your budget. So how do you work that? You've got a whole system going with this that I adore.
Yeah, well, you know, and we strategically put our market in front of the senior center because they're an especially vulnerable population, often lacking transportation or having trouble traveling to a supermarket and to a place where they can get fresh and healthy food. So what we've done is through a grant partnered with Wholesome Wave, which allows us to actually double the SNAP benefits. So if a patron comes to the market and wants to spend $10 on their EBT card, we're able to give them $10 of the farmers market dollars and then $10 in wooden tokens that double their benefits, so they're able to spend $20 at the market. We do that with food stamps and with WIC, you know, and then we also accept the senior coupons, which are given out through CP Grown to various senior centers.
So now, and what do the senior coupons entitle you to?
They are $3 checks, and you can come to the market, and you can spend them on whatever you like. They can be spent on prepared foods or produce, as where the EBT is just the produce side of it. The only thing you can't buy with the coupons is goods that are non-food items.
Okay. Can you describe the atmosphere at your farmer's market? What's it like?
You know, this market's been running for a long time. People are very familiar with it. And when the season comes around, they depend on it. So what we hear over and over again is we're just so happy you guys are back this year. And in addition to food, we have a couple of goods vendors also, soap, clothing. We also have community resources here. So we have the Urban Alliance here. We have people from the Husky Nutritional Health Program here to talk about various community resources available as well, because, you know, in addition to, I think when I was listening earlier, I heard somebody say, you know, I really love that farmers markets are a gathering place. I see kids, I see, you know, and it's a place to come get fresh, healthy food, but it's also a place to see your friends and to learn about initiatives that are going on in your area. And so that's really what our farmers market is about, and that's really the tone of it here, is it's a community space. You know, it's not just some place you can come and get green beans. It's some place you can come and be welcomed and get resources and get food and see friends and have a, it's really that community anchor, you know?
Yeah, Sarana, tell me about the sense of experimentation. Here's what happens to me when I go to a farmer's market. I will look down and I will see something that I have always, that I have never tried before. Or it'll be something where I think, I don't exactly know what to do with that.
And garlic scapes.
Do you see this happening, that people are trying new things and asking around, how do I make this? What's this? Let me try this.
All the time, you know, and it's, that goes both ways, actually. You know, we actually just had a farmer here this morning that one of the patrons came and said, hey, you know, you're cutting that wrong. When you cut that crop, and she was talking about Palalu, she said, you know, you have to cut that with a stalk, too, because we cook the whole thing. And so that, you know, as a customer, you're not alone in that. We're all learning. You know, we're all here kind of doing our best. And so there's a dialogue always going on about, you know, what is this? What do I do with that? And I think something that's particularly special about this market is we try to broaden our crop variety and not kind of just have your typical kales. We have a really large variety of greens that are used in, you know, immigrant communities, all sorts of different populations of people. So we really try to keep this market very diverse and have the crops reflect the neighborhood that we're in as well.
I love that. That's why you mentioned Kalaloo. Yeah. Now, what populations are using Kalaloo?
You know, largely West Indian. We see, I have a farmer here that worked in Massachusetts at a refugee farm with a largely African population, and he was saying, oh, you know, I've never heard that before, that you cut the Kalaloo with a stalk, because when I was at this farm with this African population, they cut it at the leaf, and that's the way we cut it and sold it there. So, you know, we're all learning across the board. People are using things all different ways.
How many farms are there, and what farms are there?
All right. Yeah. So we have Grow Hartford, which is the portion of Hartford Food Systems that runs several different locations in Hartford as
urban
a collective
farms.
Farm, right, as an urban farm. And then we have Connecticut Valley. We have Beckett Farm. We have Littell Acres. I'm walking down and looking at everybody as I'm talking to you.
We're getting a tour.
We have a farm yet to be named that's run by a local woman named Tanika Edwards. She makes all her own soaps. She has tons of greens, makes also natural lipsticks. We have that for farmers. And then there is Chef's Italian Ices here. We have Excellent Seasonings, which is a business gentleman makes his own urban spice mixes. Gail Tilly is here with her various goods, clothing, bags, things like that.
So on the line with us, we have Sarana Bake, who is market manager. They're in their eighth season. We're talking about the North End Farmers Market outside a senior center on Coventry Street in Hartford, and it is open every Wednesday, as Sarana has explained. If you're in Hartford alone, we just decided to spotlight this one. If you're in Hartford alone, there is a farmer's market for you every single day of the week during the season. This one, in fact, goes through the end of October. It's an exciting place to be, as you can hear, all kinds of things. I'm particularly excited because you've got this wholesome wave match thing going on where you get to double people's SNAP benefits, and so they can get double the produce. I just think that is the most amazing thing.
We are unrolling a passport program this year, another CT-grown partnership and grant that is an incentive program to get people to all the different markets in Hartford. And so it's literally just a booklet, a passport. You take it to the various markets, get a stamp that you've been at that market, and then CT Grown and Hartford Food Systems have a gift for you at the end of the season if you get your passport into us and show us that you've been at all of the markets. So that's just one thing we're kind of doing to try to promote and brand the farmers markets as a whole, because as much as I want to see my market succeed, it really is a citywide effort, and all the market managers, you know, we're talking on a weekly basis. We're all in cooperation and doing whatever we can to promote and support each other as well.
Well, you're already succeeding. You're in your eighth season, Sarana. So congratulations to you. So glad you're there. Glad for all the farmers markets in our region. Thanks for being on the Food Schmooze.
Thanks so much for having me.
Sarana Bake at the North End Farmers Market on Coventry Street, which is just outside the Senior Center in the North End of Hartford. Here on the Food Schmooze, we're going to be talking about this amazing salmon with the peach jalapeno salsa that becomes magical. But the six ingredient no bake chocolate mousse pie that could not be easier to make. And a quick mention, since we're talking about markets, Fiddlehead's Natural Food Cooperative that's located in New London, they are starting ferry delivery over to Block Island.
What a great
idea.
Isn't that the best?
So on the ferry. I want to be the delivery guy.
I'm not kidding.
How great is that? Hey, you can go online right now and see all of the farmers markets in Connecticut. We've got all kinds of links there for you, not just the north end of Hartford and across the city of Hartford, but all of them. Every possible link is up there. Just go to foodschmooze.org for our recipes and links. All right, we're going to save the chocolate mousse pie to the next segment, and that's no bake. It's just six ingredients. I'm saying no bake. I'm saying
that. Because it's hot out.
And I can't wait.
Okay, and that's thanks to our friends at Fine Cooking Magazine and their current issue. But right now, let me talk about this grilled salmon with peach relish, or a peach salsa, as I call it. This is from our featured cookbook, Back Home with the Neelys. I'm talking about Pat and Gina Neely. You might see them on the Food Network, the Neelys. They do a lot of down-home cooking. You know, a lot of the stuff they do is just terrific, terrific, terrific. This happens to be a favorite of mine. This is a grilled salmon. It's so ridiculously easy. Chris, this was so delicious. Grilled salmon with a peach relish, a peach jalapeno salsa, in other words. So imagine chopping up peaches, red onion, a jalapeno. You take the seeds out of it so that it's not crazy hot. A little touch of sugar, some salt and pepper. That's it to make your salsa.
I'm just thinking to myself, I usually come in with the recipe printed out so I can remember. This was so easy. I don't even need the recipe.
Isn't that amazing?
You just chop up the peaches and all those ingredients you just said, you put in a bowl, you mix it together, and then you just let it sit while you do the salmon, which only has two ingredients, a little oil to brush on, and then you put it on the grill.
So the idea is you just brush a little oil on your grill because it keeps, you know, fish from sticking. That's really the only work here. And then it's just, as Chris said, getting some ripe peaches and chopping them into small pieces. For me, there's a little thing that I like to do. I like to just put a little sugar on each peach half when I cut it in half.
Oh, sure.
And then grill the peach half.
To make it smoky.
And then it gives a caramelization, and then I chop it. But you don't have to do that, because the Neelys don't even do that. You just chop up a fresh peach. You chop up some red onion. take a jalapeno, take the seeds out, dice it up, the juice of some lime, just a teaspoonful of sugar, a little salt and pepper, olive oil on the grill. This is one of those no-fat recipes. You know, I mean, there's nothing else in here.
And it doesn't have to sit very long?
You can do it the night before, but you don't have to. You can just do it right before.
That's a good time saver if you're doing this for a crowd.
And, really minutes.
A couple hours for people. If you wanted to have the flavors blend together, a couple hours, an hour before people come, just go in the refrigerator and run your spoon through this mix.
It's too easy.
Put the salmon on the grill. It's done. And then you just spoon this salsa on top.
And we served it on fresh greens.
Which was great.
Right? And talk about farmer's market. Go to the farmer's market, get a mix of greens or a couple heads of lettuce, and that's it. Put a little vinaigrette on it.
So we have this right now at the Food Schmooze site. So it's foodschmooze.org. Type that in. It'll take you straight to it, and it tells you how to make one of the easiest things. It tells you that we got this from our featured cookbook Back Home with the Neelys, who are on the Food Network, and they're lots of fun the way they cook, husband and wife, by the way, the way they cook together. This is a combination of peaches, onion, jalapeno, lime juice, and sugar in a bowl, little salt and pepper. You are good to go. You just grill that salmon, or you can broil it, or you can pan. You can do it in a pan if you don't do a grill. We're very obsessed with our grills. You don't have to do it that way. You do it any way you want. And then just chop up this salsa, and you're all set.
It'd be good with chicken, too. You don't even have – I mean, I kept thinking as I was whipping it together. Yeah. I was like, all the other things you could – pork, sure.
Yeah, really.
Right, a pork tenderloin on the grill and just slice it,
swordfish,
put it on the same thing.
Halibut, snapper.
This is my summer go-to salsa now that I've made it because it was just too easy. And as I was looking at the recipe, I was like, this can't be that great. There's nothing in it. And then you get a good peach. That's all you need.
Fresh and delicious, I'm telling you. All right, so you probably want to know how to make the no-bake 6-ingredient chocolate mousse pie. You want that next.
I
know you do. We do too. We can't wait to get to this. So there you go. We're all set. Of course, our recipes are not up there just now. They're up there all the time. So you can go to, we've got wines up there. We've got cocktails. We have tips. We have favorites. And in fact, in the favorite category, you're going to be seeing Ariston olive oil, I think for the money, from Greece, from a hillside in Kalamata. You can't beat this olive oil. Well, we just tried for the first time two of their flavored olive oils. One is chocolate and one is pizza. So we're going to get to that too coming up in our next segment here on the Food Schmooze Party. Please support your local food growers and food makers. More delicious conversation after a quick break. Please stay with us. I'm Faith Middleton with the gang, and this is the Food Schmooze Party coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR, and to join the conversation with us on Facebook, search The Faith Middleton Show. At our website right now, we have what we are calling Food Schmooze Ice Cream Sundays. And we don't mean the traditional Sunday. We mean it, though you can have one. We are inviting you to join our club, our Sunday Ice Cream Club. We're on a Sunday with your friends or family. You say, we're going to visit a different ice cream stand every Sunday and try out a new flavor. And we just thought that would be really fun. You can tell us what your favorites were.
Can we do it too?
Yeah, sure.
Right, we're going Sunday.
Absolutely. All right.
Just got to figure out which one.
Okay, here we go. As promised, Fine Cooking Magazine has come out. It's its most recent issue, August, September. And this is a recipe for a chocolate mousse pie. And I just went wild over this because they said it's insanely delicious. It requires just 6 ingredients. And you use already these chocolate-filled sandwich cookies to make the crust down on the bottom. So you know those springform pans, where, yes, which simply means the bottom can be removed. You just crush up a bunch of cookies, these chocolate cookies, okay, down in the bottom. Now, we have this on our website. And then you press them down. You buzz them up in the food processor. And you chill that in the refrigerator. And then you make the topping. And remember, I promised that this was no-bake. So we're talking about putting some vanilla and chocolate, you know, chocolate chips and salt in a bowl. And then simmering a little heavy cream. And you pour those two things together, the chocolate and the cream, and let that cool down in the refrigerator. Then you beat up some whipped cream with your electric mixer. And you fold those two things together, the whipped cream and the chocolate. Now, those crumbs have been in your refrigerator at the bottom of that thing. So they're set in there. And then you pour this on top of those crumbs and stick it in the refrigerator. You can do anywhere from 6 hours up to 2 days. So you can make this in advance of people coming over. Essentially, it's chocolate chips, vanilla, and cream.
I think I could make this. And I'm not a baker. You know I don't bake.
And these chocolate cookies.
That you buy?
Yeah, you buy them.
Oh, wow.
And this is what you do. What they're advocating is then you beat up some more whipped cream.
Oh, put it on top.
Put it on the
advocating. Advocating.
And maybe some chocolate sprinkly things, you know. Put that up on our
website. That's what you're
advocating. Yeah. Foodschmooze.org. It's right up there right now. And thanks to our folks at Fine Cooking. I have to say, I always trust them. They have an amazing test kitchen over there. They care about ingredients. I think they know what's delicious. So that is fantastic.
So the peach and salmon for dinner.
Right.
And the no-bake chocolate for dessert, please.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I put in a request?
You can do both those things the day before people are coming over if
Isn't
you want.
Isn't that great? So you're all set.
You don't even have to work.
Yeah. No.
It's too easy.
It's really, really too easy. And this is what we want to do in the summertime, right?
Oh, especially no baking.
I know.
Don't turn the oven on.
We had a lot of peach stuff. We did a lot of bacon stuff on the show. You know, when I opened up Fine Cooking Magazine, they were talking about steaming cobs of corn in the microwave.
Yeah, it's coming.
And I have to say, I've never done that. I've never put my corn in the microwave. Have you ever done that? So you don't do more than 4 at a time. You do it on high. You have to pull the husk down to check them. So the husk and everything goes in for about 4
minutes. So they're totally in the husk.
Yeah, it goes in for about 4 minutes, they say. You want them to be crisp and tender. Then you peel the silk and the husks off and serve them.
It's genius. Again, think about summer. You got to put a pot of boiling water on in your house in the summer.
Or you throw them on the grill.
But if you're not grilling.
Or you can cut it off the cob, as we've mentioned before, and put it in a cast iron skillet and do that with it. You can use one of our, what we call compound butters, a flavored butter.
That's the side dish I'd like on my salmon with the peaches and the chocolate
corn.
For
blue
dessert.
Blue cheese butter?
No, yeah. Well, I don't care. I'll take the blue cheese butter, but I want the corn in the microwave too. Are we writing this down?
Okay.
Got it off.
The whole meal. A whole instant
meal. That's an instant meal. Think about how easy that is.
The whole meal, start to finish. And a glass of that Gruet.
Yeah.
And you're all set.
Oh, yeah. We featured that last time. That's up there, too.
Yeah,
that's that New
Mexico.
Made in the Champagne method. This is a French maker that bought property in New Mexico. Perfect for growing grapes, you know, and, you know, high altitude, beautiful, beautiful, chilly at night.
We've done a perfect summer meal.
It's like no cooking.
With no cooking, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, so that's interesting. What do we consider no cooking? Because we did cook something on the grill with our salmon.
We
did chop up a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, and we did.
We did use the microwave. We melted some chocolate in a saute
pan. Whipped cream, yeah.
We made whipped cream. But isn't that interesting that when it gets this time of year, what is it that makes us feel like we're cooking? It's not the grill so much. That feels like play. you know, to just turn.
It's turning the oven on. It's making a big box of hot in your house.
Yes,
in the summer.
Making your house hotter than it actually already is by turning on the oven or boiling. I love
and
corn.
And do ahead. And do ahead is a good thing.
And cutting down on the pots and pans. That's one thing that grilling really does. There's no pan.
Yeah, there's
just clean
scraping,
up afterwards.
Scraping the grill. Yeah.
Just
turning the heat up
plate.
And scrape, you're done.
So I guess, we're looking at, in summer cooking, we're just looking at taking, it doesn't have to be taking all the work out, but taking a lot of the work out that we don't mind doing. Because think about it, in the winter, I don't mind standing over my stove.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice and warm there.
So to get back to our club that we just started online, which is, we call it the Food Schmooze Ice Cream Sunday Club, meaning on Sundays you try a different ice cream stand. And let us know if you find a great flavor. Has anybody tried any flavors that they absolutely adore? I wait for the fresh peach ice cream to come out with the chunks of peach in it. Anybody? I heard there's one place serving strawberry rhubarb, which I thought sounded so good.
That does sound good.
That does sound good.
See, I'm just such a traditionalist when it comes to going to these ice cream places. I want a vanilla on a cone.
No, I love vanilla too.
And so, I mean, mint chocolate chip. I have to try everybody's mint chocolate chip at least once.
Oh, you do?
It's
you go from place to place?
I do. I really have to try everybody's. Even in the store.
All right. So what about in your areas? What's your favorite in your home area? Do you have one?
I do.
Okay, go ahead. What's yours?
Jennifer's in East Haven.
I got two, Peaches and Cream in Litchfield and Popeyes in Morris.
I've got to ask you. So I went into Popeyes and I was
Center of Morris,
racing
kind of,
over to Winvian, which is
right down the street.
That's
a difference between the two.
Well, I thought, what is this Popeyes ice cream stand? Yeah. What is this? So I walked in and I looked up at the board. Then I decided to be Little Miss Nancy Drew, and so I went up to people and I said, how's the ice cream? How do you like the ice cream? Every person said, oh, it is so good. There were people going in there at 10:30 in the morning to have an ice cream cone. So, Chris, tell me about
it. Who are they? Those are my friends.
You know what? I can't even tell you, because this is the thing about Popeyes, and this is why I love going there more than anything. I can't even tell you if they make their own ice cream. Because it's just good ice cream. You sit outside. You see people you know, even people you don't know come up and talk to you and ask you what you're eating. They don't just do ice creams, but you can have sandwiches and stuff there too. So it's like this place to just go and
hang out.
It's a hangout. And it's so no think like about what the food is or what the ice cream is or whatever. There's kids running. I mean, you must have seen it. There's kids running around everywhere. And it's just this really cool kind of hangout.
Well, my favorite, I think, is Delatte. This is not in my neighborhood, unfortunately. It's on the North Fork of Long Island. It's in the town of Greenport. So people who might be going from Connecticut, Rhode Island, wherever, over to the east end of Long Island, on the ferry, for instance, you pass through downtown Greenport, and there's this Italian restaurant and ice cream place called Delatte. So D'LATTE, I think. The guy, I've mentioned this before, he spends a fortune on his ingredients. He goes to the farm stands to get the fruit for the gelato.
He
makes a honey yogurt and a fresh farm fruit yogurt but the honey yogurt is so tangy that I don't know. It is the most amazing, amazing thing. It's my absolute go-to favorite. He does
first stop
an incredible
off the ferry
job.
Last stop when you're leaving.
Yeah. I mean, well, more than that, I'm sorry to tell you. You know, I just think about it. Now I'm getting into containers to go, so it's like
you carry a little freezer
bag. Is full of, you know. It's bad.
There's something so wonderful about homemade yogurt that it's so different than anything that you buy.
Tangy.
Yes, right.
Have you ever tried to make it?
I've never homemade. No.
Oh my gosh, you should try it. It's not that hard.
How do you do it?
Actually, again, I learned this in Mexico, and you can do this in your stove, in your oven, if you have a gas. Yeah, you can do it. Or I have a little tabletop model that you can get it at any health food store, and you just start with really good milk and a tablespoon or so of a live cultured yogurt, which you only need to get once, because once you do it, then you keep making your yogurt off your older yogurt, and you keep this process going.
Yeah, that sounds really fun.
It's fun because
I just want to buy
it. It's fun because you get to see it being made and you don't have to touch it. It's just a little, especially if you have the little tabletop one. If you eat a lot of yogurt, it's definitely worth
doing. It's a science experiment.
It's a science experiment on your kitchen counter.
Yeah, wait a minute. Cool.
Because
wait a minute.
It comes
if
in
I have the tabletop thing,
mm-hmm.
What do I have to do? Just run me through that.
Milk.
Yeah.
And a tablespoon of live cultured yogurt. So if you're making yogurt all the time, you just use a little bit of the last batch in there. But the first time you make it,
First time.
Have to buy a live cultured
yogurt.
Where
do you get that?
Oh, in any supermarket you can get live cultured yogurt. Just look on the labels. Some of them are pasture and some of them are live cultured. If it's live cultured, you're good to go. There's always different brands in the supermarket that have live culture.
In the supermarket?
In the supermarket, yeah. Okay. And all you need to do is buy that once because you can then keep making your own off your last batch. And it's overnight. And then the cool thing about the one I have, it has this like – it's like a bag, like cheesecloth, and you can take your yogurt and eat it right out of the container, and it's like a loose yogurt. Or what I like to do sometimes is take it and then you can hold it over a bowl overnight or all day long, and then when I get home at night, it turns into this thicker style yogurt, almost like a thick
custard.
Like a custard or like
that's how I like to make yogurt cheese.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. So the longer you let this sit, you actually get yogurt cheese because all the water drips out of it.
I put in Arnold Gorlick at Madison Art Cinema taught me how to do this. Yeah. I swirl in some very good extra virgin olive oil and a little oregano.
The pizza olive oil would be heaven in there.
Hey, let me tell
you
about
that.
Ariston Olive Oil is a company that the headquarters based in Connecticut. This is a Greek family, and their relatives on Kalamata, Greece, they now have a factory because they're doing so well. I think for the money, this is real Greek olive oil. Ariston, A-R-I-S-T-O-N. It's on our website, foodschmooze.org. And so we decided for fun to try. They've started doing some flavored olive oils, lemon, oregano, basil, garlic. But just the traditional is what I use the most. I just tried their pizza olive oil, and we like that, right?
I'd say more than like. I'm already reeling all the things you could do with it. It's so good. How about just tossing some pasta with it?
And then they have an infused chocolate olive oil. And Chris was saying he'd like to use it to make a mole sauce, a Mexican mole sauce for chicken.
With a little spice in it because it doesn't have – you taste the chocolate but it doesn't have sweet.
Well, right. I like olive oil ice cream, so I was thinking if I was making an ice cream, I might use this chocolate-infused olive oil to make ice cream in my ice cream maker, and that might be kind of interesting.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I was thinking of is when you make waffles, sometimes you add a little oil to the batter. How about adding that to a waffle
that'd
batter?
Be interesting.
Right? And the chocolate would actually come through because it's pretty strong when you taste it.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Still my favorite is the plain olive oil from the Kalamata hillside in Greece. Ariston.
I like the Greek because it has more
vinegars too.
The Greek
terrific
olive oil versus like the Spanish or the Italian olive oil. I like the Greek because when you taste it, in the back of your throat, it gives a little pop. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It has a little bite, but not in your mouth, sort of like in the back of your throat, and makes you want to have more.
Mm. Yeah, it does.
Like, I want
it
more
really
of the pizza
does
one.
Yes, I can tell.
Before we take off, I want to say one more thing about fruit on the grill. I talked about cutting a fresh peach in half, taking the pit out, putting a little, you don't have to peel it or anything, a little sugar on the ends, and then you can put a little butter on there, just swipe a little butter on there if you want, and then grilling it. You have to watch it carefully because it will burn in a second, but it caramelizes, and with a little bit of ice cream, it's fantastic. Oh. What are all the other fruits that we could put on the grill? And pineapple
pineapple's
love
my
that
go-to because it's the simplest one, but gosh, any
what about
pears?
Strawberries? Why not put strawberries on the grill? And then when they're grilled up, a little maple syrup or something, brush them with maple, toss them with maple syrup first and then on the grill.
Wow, and you could put that on pork because I like that kind of fruity thing with grilled pork.
And mangoes.
Wow. Yeah, mangoes are good.
Mango,
papayas.
Good idea.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything, I guess you got to go with firmer things, right? You can't put really soft. But how about like bananas? Could you grill a banana?
Well, I mean, plantains are
plantains.
Fried,
yes.
So.
Yeah, you can, right? So
but
maybe
that,
a greener,
a
you would have to use a greener banana, a little firmer. That'd be fun to try though, right?
And then what would you serve
I like
it with?
Your idea, putting a little sugar on it first and then put ice cream on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like a grilled banana split. We could be onto something
here.
A
grilled banana split? Chris, that's a great, great concept.
That's all right, we have to try that.
Good for you, Chris.
All right, get the bananas.
Okay.
Good for you. Well, this was really fun. This was really fun. Everything that we talked about is online, of course. The Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9. Thanks to my buddies Chris Prosperi, Lori Mack, Jonathan McNichol. The show airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. We are online right now with all of our recipes, or anytime. Find the recipes, food products, restaurants, value wines, easy cocktails we feature right now at foodschmooze.org. Here's to pleasure, my friends, and remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to my